show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one! Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
Kansas City baseball fans eat baseball.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson. I don't know what I was going to go say there, but it wasn't going to work. I'm Troy Olson, and I'm joined, of course, by Michael Engel. Mike, did you break your foot?
No, I am all right.
Mike had to go to urgent care, so we had to push back our recording time a little bit. We tried to line up some guests for you this week. Things fell through. It happened, so it's just Mike and I. Jeff's dealing with some house issues. If you want to buy a house, call Jeff. But it is the 19th of March. You'll probably hear the show about the 21st. Last week we were joined by Jason Martinez. It's been an action-packed month, and we're real excited about it. We'll see what we get the rest of the way. Just a programming note, you may or may not have a show next week, and you may or may not have a show the week after. I'm going to do my best to quickly get to Arizona and get everything set up, but I'm the only one that currently has the recording stuff, and I might be able to get Mike set up otherwise, but...
it's unlikely.
But it's unlikely. Mike has kind of pushed back on that thought a little bit, so...
I will screw it up. I guarantee you that. It will just happen.
With me moving to Arizona, we have not missed a show. We've provided you a weekly show pretty much every week since we started, almost without fail. And then for a while, we were doing two a week, so... you may be without us for a couple weeks, and if you are, tune into royalspodcast.com and check out our partner show, Pine Tar Press. They'll keep you going for the next couple of weeks if we're unable to perform our duties as your podcast listening pleasure. But yes, just two guys that are going to be long-winded. Bunch of mouth breathers around here. That's all we are.
Well, my nose is stuffed up, so I have to.
What's that?
I said my nose is stuffed up, so I have to breathe through my mouth.
No joke. So a couple of big changes have happened this week. We know we're going to have a different fifth starter than we thought we were going to have 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Hochhaver's going to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Bruce Shen, you would think, would be the leader for the fifth spot, being the lefty. Luis Mendoza is still looking awful good. So could we see five right-handed pitchers in the starting lineup for the Royals?
I think you could. It's not typical. Most of the time, if there's a left-handed option, teams will want to do that. But it's not unheard of. I think it was the Dodgers maybe it wasn't the Dodgers, but there was some team that went like four straight seasons without a lefty making a start or something like that. So it's not crazy. It's just, you do want to break it up a little bit so that, you have to change the other team's lineup a little bit and maybe get different matchups and give them a different look. And, Chen provides that. So I think he's got to be the front runner. Mendoza's pitched really well. I mean, there's no denying that. He's definitely pitched better than Bruce Chen has. But I think the Royals kind of had an idea in their head that it was always going to be down to Hochhaver or Chen.
They'll end up probably trotting Chen out there, but I don't even think the Royals need a fifth starter for like the first week or so. You may just see them all go to the bullpen initially, and they may just wait.
Yeah, there's always that weird point at the start of the year where there's enough off days where you can skip a guy, and I don't think they've said anything about doing that. Usually you always get that story in spring where they're going to do that, and I just haven't heard it, but there's still 2 weeks, so
the thing is, I almost expect the Royals to start with an extra bat because they're going to be in Philly.
Yeah,
and they're going to have to figure that out. And I think Mike, you're anti pitcher hitting, and me, yes. I like both sides of the sport, so I like it both ways, and so I don't care. I think it's an equal challenge for both leagues to figure out what they're going to do. When they've got to play in the other league, I'm not a fan of this whole thing that Selig wants to do, where he wants to have American League parks not have the DH and National League parks have the DH during interleague. I don't think that's a good idea. Just
weird.
Let them be what they are. And I know it's trying to be better for the fans, but it's not. Yeah. So we'll see, though. But, I mean, if they did that, then you'd have everybody coming out of the bullpen. You'd be able to get that extra bullpen arm. You could send one more extra person down, keep somebody like a David Lowe up for a couple of weeks, you know, and which would be great for him. But I was trying to look here real quick. The season starts the 1st of April, which I may be at a game that day, ironically enough. But they start in Chicago.
Yeah.
So you could almost see them send somebody down and then bring somebody back up. But the thing is, they play on Monday, and then they're off Tuesday. So then you'd have your 2-guy going on Wednesday, your 3-guy going on Thursday, and your 4-guy going on Friday, and you could have your quote-unquote ace, which would be Shields, going again on Saturday. The problem with that is you assume, I would think, that Guthrie's going to be the 2, and I think they want him to be the home starter.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they could let him go on an extra day and have Irving Santana come in and pitch Sunday, and then Guthrie will start the next game. And then even then, Guthrie would pitch, and then you'd have two more behind him, and they have another day off. So, no, they'd need the 5th starter there. I lost track of my count for a second there. They have 4, 5, 6, 7, they have like 8 games in a row there.
They need him right away.
So they would need him. But you would technically be able to go that whole first 7 days, the first 6 games, with that extra bat against the White Sox and against the Phillies, and then come home and send somebody down, and you play the Twins and Blue Jays, and then, I mean, then you had the Braves for 2 games, but I bet they could get by for 2 games without anybody, and then you don't have National League play in a National League park the rest of April.
Yeah, you know. I think it's not until mid-May against the Cardinals or something.
Yeah, it looks like they go at Orioles, at Angels, at A's, at Astros. That's an American League game. That sounds weird. at Cardinals for 2 games, the 29th and 30th, and then they're right back to, and they're only 2 games set, so they're
actually they do the home and home. It's kind of weird.
The way the scheduling's set up, they're actually kind of lucky. It doesn't look like, yeah, outside of that Philly series, I don't know that they would need necessarily an extra bat. I guess unless you want to get really creative in these 2 game series,
they
have another 3 game National League series. It looks like, and granted, I'm just glancing over this, but it looks like in August against the Mets on Friday the 5th is the next 3 game. National League series. But if I'm wrong, you're always welcome to email me and tell me how wrong I am. That's KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com. We always appreciate your stories and what have you.
You should email Troy every time he's wrong. It's funny.
We did actually get some emails this week, and I'm hoping to get to those. David Lowe actually had a lot of information.
Not the outfielder.
No, not the outfielder. David Lowe, the fan. The Royals podcast fan. There's a few out there, you know, and Twitter's been, it's such a great place to meet your listeners, but there's a few out there that listen to every piece of Royals podcasting that's out there, and I appreciate that. And it's not a big number of fans, but I think it'll grow as the team improves. On the subject of the team improving, Hosmer's back from the WBC, and I'm a strong believer in that the WBC matters and that it's real competition. And I argued with a guy that said it's like playing against minor leaguers. And I was like, well, how's spring training any different? At least this is real competition for something that quote unquote matters. And it may not matter to the Americans, but it does matter to the other teams. And I don't remember if I told this story on here or where I was telling it at, but I heard, I believe it was on 610. One of the guys was saying, one of the experts they had on was saying how in the last WBC, the Cuban team was told if they beat the Americans that they would all have houses and a huge stipend when they got home. Of course, they lost, so they got nothing. So, I mean, it's a big deal to some of these other countries. Now, the U.S., it's not really a big deal, and until Major League Baseball steps up and makes it a big deal and says, you know, hey, you've got to let these guys go. In fact, they're forced to go, kind of like the All-Star game, or, which is what I think they need to do, is move the darn thing to January and play it in tropical climates, you know, like Florida. I mean, there was a couple of days in January where in Phoenix it was like 35, 40 degrees, but you can play baseball in 40 degrees. Trust me, we do it every April in Kansas City. You know, so I don't see that as a problem, and I'd like to see the WBC matter more. But no, it doesn't necessarily matter a whole lot, but Hosmer has not looked good. He's got the same problems he had last year. Curtis Kitchen came on our show last year early in the season and said, something's wrong with Hosmer. He's going to have a horrible year. I laughed at him. He actually gave me crap about that the other day when we were out for dinner and drinks. And he was giving me a hard time about that, and we were talking about how Hosmer looks like the same player today that he did last year. And am I putting too much spring training stats? Maybe so, but when you have a recurring problem from last year, there's something to be said for it. Mike, are you worried?
What was the problem?
His swing's too long.
In what ways?
Well,
that's my question.
Well,
I mean, here's what I'm thinking. I can't say I'm not concerned. If he'd had the same kind of year he had his rookie season last year, this would be nothing. Nobody would be talking about it. Going into the WBC, he was, he's crushing the ball in surprise. He was hitting everything in the Cactus League, and then he goes there, and, he did have some troubles. But every time that I watched, and I didn't watch all the WBC games, but he was hitting the ball hard. And what he ran into last year was chasing pitches down and away and trying to pull them. And when you do that, you hit it on the top, you ground it to second, and it's an easy out. What he was doing on this in the WBC was, he was hitting line drives to people. He was hitting sharp grounders to third. I went back and looked at every kind of game day play-by-play, and he hit the ball to the left side or center field side of the field 13 out of 19 times when he put it into play. So he only really pulled it 6 times. So that fits with the kind of hitter that he is. I think there were a lot of concern because he struck out a few times. I mean, he struck out, I think it was 6 times, and 5 of those were swinging. And no, that's not good. But at the same time, I don't think it's enough to get worked up over. He had, I think, 25 at-bats, and at least 2 of the balls that he hit, if they're a foot to the left, they're base hits. And that turns his batting average from 200 to 280, and nobody's got a problem with that. So okay, I think you're running into sample size, level of competition, and that context, and I think people are blowing it up. The other thing that I have a theory about is that nobody was able to see any of the early spring training games unless they were down there. So, nobody's able to actually see him at the plate, see what pitches he's swinging at, how he's swinging at them. But once he was in the WBC, anything was right there, and it's the first time you get to see him. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of people are looking for those holes. I think they're looking to see it. And when he doesn't perform well, that's what happens. I mean, nobody was talking anything about when he hit the double all the way to the fence. He hits it 410 feet to left center. I mean, that's a heck of a shot. So, but, he grounds out to second, and everybody's going to be on him. Now, once the season starts, that excuse is gone. He has to perform. But to this point, I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. I want him to do well, but I'm not going to, be panicking because of, 50 at-bats in March.
But with that being said, he's also coming off a season where he looked like crap. And everything you're saying about him being, a foot over here, a foot over there, isn't that what people were saying about Francoeur last year? And that he was hitting hard hit outs. That's what we heard all year.
Not Francoeur.
Hard hit outs. Wasn't it, or maybe it was Hosmer all last year then.
It was Hosmer the first 6 weeks of the year. Like, you could have almost put a guy in a space of 100 feet and have Hosmer hit it, and he manages to hit it right at the guy. I mean, it was uncanny. His batting average on balls in play was about 150, which is, there's no way that can ever hold up over a full season. I mean, it just doesn't. You can even be awful, and it doesn't do it. You could barely chip the ball on the ground, and you're going to get some hits out of it. So, I think that happened, and being at the start of the year, being the losing streak, he tightened up, and, after about the middle of May, that's when it really kind of started to spiral down on him, and I think he was trying to make changes on his own. Maybe he wasn't listening to things, but, things could have been a heck of a lot different in that first 6 weeks of the season. Because he was stinging the ball. He was hitting the ball hard every time up there, and it just happened to be right at somebody. I was at a game against the Blue Jays. He's up there, I think, bases loaded, or first and second with nobody out. He crushes a ball right down the line, just happens to be within range of the first baseman who manages to get it. step on first, throw to second. It's a triple play, you know, just that kind of luck. That's what he ran into. You know, by July, yeah, when he's pressing, that's a whole different story. But I think there's enough to show that, you know, the early part of this spring training, he was hitting the ball well. The reports were good. Bob Dutton was saying that he looked locked in. You know, we're going off of about, what, 8-9 games over the last 2 weeks. I think it's just overreacting at this point. But, again, if the season starts and he's still having problems, obviously, I mean, that's a bigger story. That's a bigger problem to look at.
Well, I'm in full panic mode, I won't lie, because he has to be good in order for this team to be successful.
True.
And I'm not seeing it. And
how many games have we seen? I mean, I've seen him at the plate 15 times this spring. That's not enough for me to go off of. I mean, it's just not. He's going to get up to the plate 700 times this year. 15's nothing. 15's a blink.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Lipogetosis.
Yep.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
From there, let's talk about they cut the roster a bit, which is right in line for this year. And
yep.
I
they cut a lot of guys. They cut them all yesterday, too. They cut like 12 guys yesterday. Monday.
The first set of cuts, and I kind of smiled when I first saw these three because it was funny to me that Smith, Adcock, and Tiefert all went down. When you think about those were all starting pitchers for this team last year. Now, Smith, in all reality, should be a starting pitcher. This year, he should be the number five starter because he's better than Chen and he's left-handed. I'm fully aboard the Mendoza bandwagon with Jeff Parker. I don't hate him the way that Michael Engel does.
I've lightened my criticism of him a little bit. I mean, I don't think he can sustain it, but if he's ever, you know, if all he has to do is be the fifth starter, I think he can be fine there. If he has to be the fourth or third starter, then there's trouble.
Do you feel like that the Royals have done the right thing with improving over guys like Adcock and Tiefer? Do you feel that they have done that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Adcock's done okay when he's been called into action, but you know, there guys don't generally go from being unprotected in the Rule 5 without really great stuff to, you know, becoming a lot better than what they're, you know, then kind of middle relief, depth, kind of, you know, guys like Nate Adcock, what he does, where he's floating between AAA and the majors. And Tiefert's kind of the same way. He's always been kind of a fringy guy. You know, he's been ranked in some of the, oh, maybe he's like the 30th guy in your top 30 prospects or something 1 year because he did well. And I think they have some value, definitely. And if they were called into action at the big league level, they can hold their own, but they're nobody that you want to rely on. So I think that they're okay, but guys like Mendoza and guys like that, you know, they're definitely performing better and they have a lot more upside to be even better than they have been.
And with Adcock especially, he's kind of an odd bird because he doesn't – the way that he pitches, he doesn't really have a position because he's really – what he is a mop-up reliever. He's good to go out there for four or five innings, and he's a fine pitcher. He'll be great for you, but he's not a starter. He can't get to the – he can't successfully always get through the fifth into the sixth, seventh inning. Yeah. He doesn't have that kind of stuff. He doesn't have that kind of endurance. You know, and then Tiefert, same kind of thing. He has the endurance. He just doesn't seem to have the stuff. But Adcock is kind of a waste for one or two innings, but he really needs to be a mop-up guy. So it'll be hard to see where they find a position for him. But I'm pretty sure all three of those guys will start in Omaha.
They've all been optioned there. So I think you're probably looking at your – Smith's probably going to be the guy pitching the opener for Omaha. He's definitely pitched well this spring, so –
When they start skipping starts with Smith or moving his days around or skipping another person to get Smith in, that's when you know that he's close to coming up because they're getting him into that fifth start.
Watch that alignment for sure.
Yep. As soon as he starts moving around down there, that's when you know that they're making a move on if he's coming up, that's when it'll be. Yordano Ventura has been fantastic. J.J. Piccolo was on with us a couple weeks ago, and he said that he'd start in Double A. Our friend Lesky over at Pine Tar Press was eavesdropping on some executive conversation down in Arizona, and he heard, well, we may just need to send this guy to AAA. And they kind of talked about this on their latest show, that it kind of reeks of Mike Montgomery, where they sent him to AAA too soon, and he fell apart, and he never recovered.
Never got it back.
So it'd be quite fine by me for them to send him to AA, but he has been sent to the minor league camp, and they're unsure where he'll start out at this point, but hopefully it'll be Double A. I think that would be best for him. I think that's best for the team. Even if he's only down there for two starts and then he ends up in Omaha, at least send down there and make sure that is indeed what you want. Boyer and Marriott round out the guys from pitchers sent to camp of names that you might know. Also Brian Sanchez, but I don't even know who that is. So maybe I don't have my Royals minor leaguers up to date.
I think he was a former first-round pick of the Royals in like 98 or something like that. I know he pitched for Wilmington. He threw a no-hitter for the Wilmington Blue Rocks some year. So Sanchez is nothing. Boyer's really nothing. The interesting names that you're looking at there are Will Smith, Yordano Ventura, and Michael Marriott to an extent. You know, he was, for whatever reason, they were using him in save situations in the first couple weeks of spring training. And he actually did pretty well there, so I think that's pretty interesting. He's probably going to be Double A, Triple A guy this year. But
I think he's a failed starter at this point, and they realize that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got some value as a minor league guy, and maybe he'll make the majors at some point. Ventura, I'm with you on him going to Double A, because I think that they need to make sure that he can do something there. He only had six starts in Double A last year. And he wasn't particularly dominant in them. He was good, but he wasn't that good. So they should get another look at him, probably a month. If after a month he's thrown five starts and he's at 30 innings and he's struck out 40 guys, yeah, you could probably bump him up to AAA at that point.
And then Guillermo Moscoso went out and pitched the other day, and he said, you know what, I just don't want to play baseball this year. Nope, not going to do it. And
he
got annihilated.
He didn't want to play for the Royals, apparently.
That's for sure.
Gave up a grand slam, and then he got cut the next day. And the Blue Jays did claim him, so we'll see if he does anything there. But
can you imagine if he makes that major league team, how good they are? I mean, that's a legitimate World Series contender. And if Guillermo Moscoso ends up getting a spot start there, or not spot start, but getting a relief spot in Toronto and actually is productive, that's just going to be so Royals, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, it's still just Guillermo Moscoso. He's such a weird pitcher because he's been terrible at Coors Field. He's been fantastic at Oakland. And, you know, neither of those environments are really reliable as far as telling you how a pitcher is. So he's kind of a wild card, but he didn't really pitch very well for the Royals this spring, so, you know, they had to move him along, and, you know, it does open up a spot on the 40-man roster, which is probably going to be Miguel Tejada, but, you know, maybe it'll be someone else.
They haven't filled it yet, so they're not in a hurry to, and it could be because Tejada's over with the Dominican playing in the Baseball Classic yet, but it's definitely interesting that they haven't filled that spot yet. Continuing with the folks sent down, Christian Colon, Anthony Sarantelli, hope I get this right, Brandon Wood, Willie Taveras, and Adam Moore also. Of course, friends of the program, Christian Colon and Anthony Sarantelli. Colon looked pretty bad in spring ball too, but I don't know that I'm going to get too excited about that. I didn't expect him to break with the major league team by any means anyways. So if he goes down to AAA and goes gangbusters, then that'll be awesome. Yeah. I hope Sarantelli can just get hot enough to get a week in the major league so he can get the major league pension and everything. Because, you know, going back to having him on the show a couple weeks ago and hearing his story, it just would be so great to see him get, you know, a shot.
It really would. And he didn't get a lot of hits, but he got on base. Like, I think he only got 5 hits, but he walked 6 times. So he was doing a little bit of everything, and, you know, he's a guy, he can play everywhere, and, you know, he's one of those good stories, and we know that from talking to him directly. And Colon's interesting, too, just because, I think there was an opportunity, and it was maybe a small window, but a window nonetheless, that he could have thrown himself into the second base competition, and then he came out, he just wasn't hitting very well, and there's tweets out there from Rob Nyer, who was critical of him being able to play shortstop at the big league level, which matches up with what a lot of people have thought scouting-wise on Colon. But, you know, I think what did he do? He had about 2 weeks in Omaha, maybe not even that. And then, you know, freak accident, fouls a ball off of his eye somehow, and is out for the rest of the year. So he'll start in Omaha, and, you know, they'll just kind of see from there.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how he works into that whole Chris Getz, Johnny Giovitella mess, because, I mean, that thing isn't a mess enough. Let's just throw another body at it, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've seen the last of Elliot Johnson there. You know, I think that is a more polluted job than a lot of people realize, because, yes, you've got Christian Colon that's playing into that. You've got Johnson, you've got the two guys that we know of. So I think there's more than meets the eye with that, for sure.
They're transformers.
Yeah, I use that phrase a lot. Going back to pitchers, Wade Davis, the sky was falling. He had a shoulder problem. Yeah. So I'm sure that he'll be going for Tommy John's next week, but they're saying his shoulder's fine.
The rare Tommy John procedure performed on the shoulder.
Right. It's just how it goes, man.
Yeah.
It's always something. Yeah. No, he appears to be fine. So not really much there. He's pitched a couple minor league games, and Bob Dutton tweeted out his stats from that. And if you don't follow Bob Dutton, I don't know
what you're doing. How'd you find out? Because it doesn't make any sense.
At Royals underscore report.
He's about a billion times better than we are at anything we do.
Yeah. He is probably he has to be the number one professional follow for anything Royals. I mean, he just has to be. He is so on it. He's got more access than anybody else. So,
yep, very true.
So that's both your update on Bob Dutton and Wade Davis.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
And then Luke Hochaver sent to the bullpen. I like this move. I've wanted this move for about 2 years. I've talked about this back when I was on Three Guys in a Garage, that I think, because a lot of things change when you're a reliever. A lot of people are like, well, Hochaver can't handle runners on base. Hochaver couldn't handle runners on base when he was having to make sure he had enough stuff to get through a game. And I know that's kind of a cop-out, but there is something to be said for max effort pitching. And I want to see what comes out of this, and if they really make him into a one-inning pitcher, he's got two good pitches. He's got two really good pitches. He's got no brain control, it seems, but he's got two really good pitches, and if he can just make those pitches work, he can be a really viable reliever, and that's what I thought he should have been the last 2 years anyways. It was time to give up on it, and they just waited far too long, and now we'll see. But I really truly believe that he could be something special out of the bullpen. So,
yeah, we'll I think it's long overdue. And, you know, the decision was really in November when they had to offer him arbitration. And you know, they had an opportunity to get away from him. They didn't. And now at least they're not doubling down on it. So that's kind of refreshing to actually see that they're willing to, you know, try something completely different than what they've been doing, which is basically just running into a wall, expecting it to fall over. Yeah, I mean, he's got a really good slider and a really good cutter, and he can throw low to mid-90s. So there's an opportunity for something there. I don't know, you know, how fragile his mental state is after years of just being prodded and beat up by other teams, but if he only has to go through a lineup once and he can start an inning without anybody on, you know, that's kind of setting him up for his best possible chance at success, which is, you know, all you can really ask of an organization to do for a player, as long as, you know, somebody that they're going to have to pay him anyway. They're going to have him on the roster, you know, for at least 2 months or so. So they got to get what they can out of him. And he's pitched well in spring training games so far. I can't guarantee that he's going to actually be any good, but, you know, at least they're willing to make a change and give it a shot. So, you know, give him credit for that, I guess.
Well, David Lowe, like we said, was down in Arizona this week, and he sent us a review of what he saw. And one of the notes he sent me in one of the emails was that Luke Cochever worked consistently at 94 miles an hour in relief and in two innings with his fastball. His off-speed stuff was about 10 miles less, and he was really keeping hitters off balance. The first two hitters tagged his fastball hard but lined right out to Kane. So, again, can he do it all year? That's the question. But if he could be a consistent sixth-inning guy, man, it's just another weapon in your arsenal, and that's what you want to see.
The best thing for him is that, you know, look at the rest of the Royals bullpen. I mean, this is a very good bullpen. You know, you've got guys who, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches almost with what they've got. They've got Greg Holland, who should be solid. You've got Kelvin Herrera, who I absolutely adore. If it was legal in the United States, I would probably marry his changeup. It's that good. That thing is sexy. It's awesome. Then you've got Tim Collins, who had a very good year last year. You've got Aaron Crow. You know, if Aaron Crow is your fourth guy on the bullpen depth chart, that's pretty good. And then they've always got Lewis Coleman. Donnie Joseph has pitched well, other than his last time out. He didn't do that great.
Yeah, let's stop there for a second, because you want to marry Herrera's changeup. I want to marry everything Donnie Joseph throws, because he just mows people down. I mean, he looks so good. And let's just throw this out here right now, because if he does make the team, and he hasn't been sent down yet, so he's got a shot. Yeah. But if he makes the team, do you want to steal something from the Fantasy Focus and do a little bit of a board bet here? Take like 5x5 categories on Herrera and Joseph for whoever has the better year, and then we'll figure out what the bet is.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I like Joseph, I do, but Herrera is something special.
Because I love Herrera, don't get me wrong, but I have absolutely just been so impressed with Joseph. And, you know, I know the guys over at Pine Tar Press were too, and they were talking about it on their show, and I just couldn't believe it. We're trying to get him on the show, and if we do, we will not speak of my love affair with his fastball and changeup.
You might not.
I don't know. We got to make sure this guy is not is okay with our love affair. So
I don't, yeah, he's a lefty. Anyway. Lefties are weird, so you never know.
There you go.
I have no idea what he's into.
You know, him and Danny Duffy, I think, are going to make for some fun times on Twitter once. And Verdugo too, if he ever gets back to the big leagues.
Well,
I sure hope he
does. It's kind of like when Duffy joined Twitter, he was teaching me how to Duffy after Verdugo was teaching me how to Dougie. And then at one point, I think it was Duffy was talking with Tiefert after Tiefert got on Twitter, and they're both lefties. So it was like he's like taking in all these lefties, and they're all a little weird. And so I think that could be something to watch, is how Donnie Joseph and Danny Duffy interact on Twitter. Because, I mean, they're lefties. Lefties are quirky. They're strange. They're characters.
Just a quick note, kind of off of what we've been talking about with the pitching depth and the crowded Omaha rotation. There's an article by that name by Hunter Samuels on Kings of Kauffman. Definitely check that out. It looks like a pretty good article. I kind of breezed over it real quick, and it looks pretty good. And so definitely check that out. Where were you going after Johnny Joseph? I kind of cut you short.
I don't know. I mean, he's his main competition's probably Francis Lee Bueno, oddly enough.
Yeah, he's actually been okay, too.
Yeah, I kind of think they're going to go with a lefty there because Tim Collins really isn't a guy that you throw in against lefties, and their only other option would be Chen if he somehow gave way to Mendoza in the rotation. So, you know, the Royals would have one lefty who isn't really that good against lefties. And you know, generally teams aren't going to do that. It's always kind of weird because you run into a situation where teams want to keep their players, you know, whatever players that have performed at any kind of competency, and then it just becomes a matter of who has options. And, you know, that's where, you know, J.C. Gutierrez, who used to be a closer for the Diamondbacks, I believe, a couple years ago, had some injuries, went into independent leagues. And now he's back, and the Royals have given him a shot, and he pitched really well in winter ball, and he hasn't pitched that great in camp. But because he doesn't have options left, the Royals would have to put him through waivers in order to get him off of the roster. And anytime you put a guy on waivers, you run the risk of losing him. And the Royals generally, and most teams, they generally don't want to put that player at risk of you know, being claimed by anybody else. Maybe it's the right decision, maybe it's not. But that, you know, that kind of puts guys like Lewis Coleman and Donnie Joseph and even Bueno, who I think has an option left, at the risk of, you know, being sent down just because there's that flexibility to do so. And then later on, if Gutierrez stinks after the first few weeks, well, they, you know, they make a change. And they at least know, but they want to at least have that guy there and then have the depth behind him, which you can argue if that's the right way to do it or not. You know, I kind of want to go with the best 25 guys you can take out there, but you know, that's what teams do. And, you know, we saw it last year with all the injuries the Royals ran into. You know, things could have been different if they would have been willing to give up some of those guys who, you know, could have been claimed by other teams. And it could have been even more thin pitching staff.
Well, everybody likes to have their own toys, so.
Right, and they're running the show, not me, so.
Well, and I guess that's where the argument comes in that, you know, you're overpaying Hochaver and Chen if they end up in the bullpen because you got $6 million on Chen and you got $4 million on Hochaver, which you can, I think they can still let Hochaver go before opening day for 1.5. So, I mean, Hochaver may not be good for this team, but if he gets cut, he's going to end up in Tampa Bay and become an ace starter. So that's just how it works.
Probably. Or St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, St. Louis maybe not so much anymore because what's his name's gone from up there. So.
It's still St. Louis. It would happen just to spite me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it goes. outside of that, I was going to say, I was just looking something up, and I happened to glance at Facebook, and I don't know what is going on with you people, but Mike hurts his foot being friggin' Engel on St. Patrick's Day.
No, it wasn't St. Patrick's Day. It was Friday.
Well, when his beginning to St. Patrick's Day, which continued for 3 days.
No, it was just that one day.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to be pretty much out of commission for the whole weekend.
I was out in the middle of nowhere, so I just didn't have a lot of access to the internet. I was in southern Iowa, where there was no coverage for my phone and no internet hardly, so it was just whatever. But yeah.
But you hurt yourself, and then a friend of mine, one of my Derby girls, she dropped a 40-pound weight on her foot this morning. And then I don't know how she did, but just seeing another one of my friends that work out a lot hurt her knee and foot. So whatever you people are doing to your lower extremities, quit it.
Well, the thing for me though was I wasn't working out or anything. I believe I was dancing to the Beastie Boys.
I was gonna say I'm sure there was some dancing involved.
I had to go check my Twitter timeline to remind myself because for some reason, I don't remember everything. It's the weirdest thing. It's like Inception or something.
I don't remember anything. I like it. So, yeah, outside of that, I don't really have much else. Did you have anything else, Mike?
You know, Alex Gordon and Lorenzo Cain are hitting the crap out of the ball, and I like that.
We need to call Scobie and just say Alex Gordon and just listen to him talk for 20 minutes, and then that'll be the show in and of itself.
That would be funny.
We always give him such a hard time, but, man, he's so much fun.
Yeah, he asked for it. I mean, he wrote the love letters, so...
Just because I don't do it often enough, shout out to Brad Westmar, who, again, has done the Open for us and all those little – the Vault sounders and stuff. He's got his own show, Brad Westmar Show, creatively named. I'm sure it took him a long time to come up with that one. And you can find that on Jackalope Radio, jackaloperadio.com, I think it is. But if you just search Brad Westmar Show, you'll find it. And he's really funny. He's kind of kind of like a rock and talk show, but without the rock. And but he's very, very funny.
But he does a lot talking.
Yes, he does a lot of, like, and I think he writes a lot of them, a lot of covers, kind of parody covers. I can't think of what the name of the show was. Dr. Demento. His show kind of reminds me of a Dr. Demento type show, which for those that but, I mean, that's where Weird Al was found and stuff, and I could have totally seen Brad Westmar being a Dr. Demento type. So go check him out. I'm always grateful for all he's done for us, and I'm going to be on TV again. I'm sure that makes everybody so happy.
Yeah.
Channel 5 is going to do a thing on me retiring Royal Man, I guess. They haven't called me back. It was supposed to be Thursday or Friday, and it's already Tuesday, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we'll see. If that does, that'll be pretty cool, and I'm supposed to be getting – if it does, I'm going to try to get a shirt done by our good friend Brandon, who's on Twitter at bnichols013, or that's 013. He's the one that did our logos for the Kansas City Baseball Vault. And I believe he did the Royal Man Report one, too, that we ended up – no, I'm sorry. I don't think he did do that one. I take that back. Brandon did all the Vault logos, though, and he does great work. So if you need any sort of logo or screen pressing or anything, check him out. He's a good friend of ours. Oh, and then one more note. Go drink at Kelly's, and a lot. Because
absolutely.
They just dropped a ton of money again on this show. I mean, it's a ton of money to us.
I have no idea why they did it, but they did it.
You know, and it's funny because I have a friend, and I like the guy. He's a cool guy, and he's very Kansas City. He's always about spending in Kansas City, but for whatever reason, he doesn't like Kelly's. I don't know what his deal is. He prefers the other places in Westport, and he's always on him about the fact that they charge for a cover on the weekends, which is fine if you want to get on him about that, but. I was down there for an after party from my Derby game 2 weeks ago, and we were going to Ernie Biggs because we had to deal with them. And the line for Kelly's was down the block almost all the way. Well, it was well past Joe's and on its way to the old Beaumont. And I just kind of put my arms up in the air and I said, apparently not a lot of people mind paying that $5 or $4 or $3 cover, whatever it is, to get in there on the weekends. So, and
guess not.
go drink at Kelly's because they've been with us now for pretty much 2 years.
Yeah.
So we celebrated our second birthday party and they came on with us about 2 or 3 months in. So they've probably been with us for about a year and probably about a year and 8, year and 10 months, something like that. But we're going to try to do some more fun things on this show. I need to reach out to the T-Bones, but I'm going to try to get some T-Bones tickets and give those away. With some different trivia that you'll be able to tweet at us. And then we're going to get some $10 Kelly's gift certificates to give to guests and to give to fans. And so we're going to get all that stuff out to you guys instead of us just hanging on to it and waiting for the parties and then getting really drunk for free, which is always fun too.
Don't tell them our secrets.
If you've ever wondered why Michael Engel ends up dancing at parties, it's because there's a lot of free booze going around. So Yeah. But no, I really appreciate those guys. They're hosting my wedding reception, and we're doing it on a Sunday night. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, so I might get in trouble. But they're doing it for me with no sort of charge because I'm planning to bring a ton of people. Just based on the Derby people I know, if they come to my reception, it'll be 150 people without my family, and my family's probably that too. So we're going to pretty well fill up Kelly's on our own. But they're going to close the doors for us that Sunday night and give the bar to me from 8 to midnight. And they're just fantastic people. And I was just, you know, Megan was absolutely blown away, and it takes a lot to really impress her, and she was blown away at Kyle and Mitch, and I just can't say enough good things about them. So they're all great people.
They are, and they're very easy to work with when we talk to them.
So you'll continue to hear their commercials. I'm going to try to make some new ones. I miss Kamler on this show for those kinds of things. I miss Kamler on the show for a lot of things, but those especially. And so I'm going to work up some new ones. And
typically, the groping is what I miss, I think.
The groping. You like the groping? I'm worried about you there.
I'm just trying to get outtakes at this point.
Well, I'm just going to leave it all in. So,
all right, well, that's good.
Kind of hose there. We are going to get some new music coming on. One of my Derby girls is married to a musician here in town, and I'm awful because I started to say this and now I forgot the name of the band, but they played our first game, and they were very good. So we'll get some of that coming up, but until then you'll still get a lot of what you got. But 49 Stones broke up, so we'll still use their music on occasion, but and for the next few weeks. But once I get the new music set up, then we'll start to go away from them, and it makes me very sad. But if you have anything to add to the show, you're always welcome to email us at royalmanreport@gmail.com or kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com. You can now go to kansascitybaseballvault.com and kcbaseballvault.com. Both of those will get you to that place. And, you know, ironically, he must be his ear must be burning or something, because Brandon just mentioned my shirt on Twitter, so maybe he's talking about him. So
there we go.
Of course, I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
No, we really don't.
Yeah, I think,
I mean,
think we
can
need...
make stuff up, but it's. I mean, we don't need to talk about Brett Hayes. I mean,
yeah. We'll try to get you on, or we'll try to get. Well, we'll definitely get you on. We'll try to get Jeff back next week, and we'll have a guest. Hopefully, if we can't get one of the players we've been after, we got a couple players we're chasing after. And the problem with booking players is you never seem to have them until the right minute. I mean, literally, we booked Elliot Johnson about 20 minutes before he came on. And so the problem with booking players is you have to wait till the last minute to get them, and then you don't want to book somebody like a Sam Mellinger and say, "Hey, Sam, sorry, I don't need you this week after all." You know, kind of rude. So, and then you get two guests, and all of a sudden the show's 3 hours. So,
right.
Anyways, we're going to get out of here.
I'm going to get out of here, too.
Yep,
I guess that's the we, huh?
Yeah, you and I.
Let's do it.
Podcasters together forever.
Just like Thelma and Louise.
In a horribly awful way.
Right.
Yeah, shoot us some emails. And thank you to David Lowe for his emails. I didn't get into nearly all of what he sent me, but I really appreciate what he sent me, and it definitely gives me some stuff to look at when we set up the list and what have you. So for Michael Engel, I'm Troy Olson, and for Jeffer, hope everything's going well with this house. We'll be back next week, and hopefully we'll be a lot better. Until then, Royals.
Yay.
What you trying to be yourself for?
Thank you for that.
Yeah, bad timing. Yeah.
All right. Let's make sure things are recording. Let's get down and dirty. Let's work quick. I got a lot of shit to do tonight.
All right, cool.
I got lots and lots of packing to figure out.
You just bring up whatever topics you want. I guess that list is still there.
It is, from yesterday, when we didn't do the show. I was laughing.
I was sitting here, and then I was like, it was like 7:05, and I was like, well, like, okay. And I go back and look, and check the email, and I'm like, Well,
your message came in at 5 to 7 when you realized that you'd sat down at like
6:04,
so yeah. And you only waited 20 minutes, so. Well. All right. So, in 5, actually, here, hold on. Do I have it queued up on here? Maybe I'll just queue in the open. No, because it plays funny on this. Anyways, in 5, 4, 3.